Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am still Spencer. Haven't changed. Still me. I am recording this on April 3rd at 6:58 a.m. April, we're in April. You are not in April. You are in May or later. I had a weird dream last night. It was probably the most long and coherent conversation with another person I've ever had in a dream. I believe it was Lauren Michaels, who runs Saturday Night Live, and something about he was, I don't know if he like owned Disney or something, but I think he wanted me. He was trying to hire me to maybe play Wolverine. And he was like, but if I don't do this, then somebody else is going to get the rights to Wolverine and they're going to mess it up. Obviously, this makes no sense whatsoever. But I was like, you want me? You want me? And we were walking and talking and hanging out. And it was a very odd conversation. I guess he had seen me in, I was in a scene in a movie in this dream world where I think I said ding dong a few times. Oh, and at one point I said something like, well, why me? Why do you want me for this? And he hesitated and he thought for a second and he said, to be honest, I don't even really like you. And I was like, I actually thought you were going to say that. And then he said, but you were in this movie where you said ding dong. And I was like, oh yeah, that thing, that quality piece of filmmaking where I said ding dong a few times. I don't know what's going on, but it was a very entertaining dream. Okay, let's see if we can make an entertaining episode of the podcast called The Dictionary. It's also a YouTube show, if you didn't know that. I've said it countless times. Okay, the first word in this episode is Excel. E-X-C-E-L. Verb from the 15th century, starting with transitive. To be superior to, or also surpass in accomplishment or achievement. I don't think I will ever excel at anything. I don't think I will be superior to anybody else in any skill. I think I am decent at a lot of things, but there's nothing that I'm like so, so talented at. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Other than being myself. And you should too. Accomplishment, achievement, okay. Intransitive is to be distinguishable by superiority, and then also surpass others, as in excel in sports. Oh, I definitely never excelled in sports. Also as in excelled at lip reading. That's a very, very hard skill. People who are deaf, I think especially if they were hearing before and then maybe became deaf, I think they can be much better at lip reading than most other humans. There was a recent episode of The Illusionist that they were talking about lip reading. I don't remember the specifics, but I remember it was mentioned. More than mentioned, probably. A synonym is the word exceed, which we had in the previous episode. The etymology says this is from the Latin verb excellere, which is from the ex prefix plus celere, C-E-L-L-E-R-E, which means to rise or project. That is akin to the Latin word colis, which means hill, and there's more at the word hill. So when you are walking up a hill to get a pail of water, you are rising up into the sky, into the air. You're going at a higher elevation. Project? I guess when you go up to the hill, you want to project to the world. You are going to profess your love, and you are in a superior position than everybody else. Excel. It's kind of interesting that there's that Microsoft product program called Excel. I get the name. It's, you know, they're trying to be like superior to all the other ones, but how does Excel connect to spreadsheets? I got them all printed out on my bed sheets. I didn't make up that rhyme. We got to move on to the next word. What's my sound effect going to be? I had an idea. Oh, we're going to go do-do-do-do-do-do. Something. The next word is excellence. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the quality of being excellent. Excellent. Party time. Number two, an excellent or valuable quality. An excellent or valuable quality is excellence. The synonym is the word virtue. So I guess the virtues that you have, the good qualities that you have, you can call those excellences? Is that right? Or is excellence the virtue? Number three, this is the number two definition for the word excellency, which is our next word. Excellency. Noun from the 15th century. Excellency from the 15th century. Number one, the synonym is excellence. But especially outstanding or valuable quality. This is usually used in plural, as in the example, so crammed as he thinks without excellencies. And that is a quote from Shakespeare. I don't know if I can decipher this. So crammed as he thinks with excellencies. So what are excellencies? They are outstanding or valuable qualities. Excellences. Virtues. As he thinks with excellencies. I don't understand what this phrase says, what it means. I don't know. Feel free to let me know. Number two, this is used as a title for high dignitaries of state, as a governor or an ambassador, or for a church, as a Roman Catholic archbishop or bishop. Excellency. Oh, His Excellency, I bow to you. You are so important. You cannot look at my face. I cannot look at your face. Please look at the top of my head. I feel so humbled in your presence, Your Excellency. Party time! That should have been my sound effect. We're going to change it. Party time! The next word is excellent. Adjective from the 14th century. I love coming across these words that are sort of in like the young person's vernacular at some point in time, but they came from these other definitions. They've evolved. Awesome, great, cool, rad, bodacious. Well, I don't know if bodacious meant anything 100 years ago, but I think even my grandma, I remember my grandma saying, like, I don't remember what word it was exactly, but it was like cool or awesome or something that had such a different meaning back then. Awesome, things that they exude awe, they bring awe to your face. And now we're like, that is awesome, that is so cool. Dude, what's excellent? I don't know if this one has changed so much though. Not as much as maybe awesome or something. Number one is archaic. The synonym is superior. So something that is excellent is superior to other things, but maybe in the way that it's used in context is a little different. This product is superior to this product. You don't say this product is excellent to this product. Maybe that's what they're trying to say. It's archaic. I don't know. Number two, very good of its kind. Very good of its kind. That doesn't seem like the proper way to use words in a sentence. But also, eminently good. And the synonym is first class. This podcast is excellent. Okay, the excellently is an adverb. Oh, he ran that race excellently. He did it first class. He did it with no stumbles. When I did my marathon, I did not do it excellently. my knee started hurting pretty early and I had to walk a lot of it. But then I got to like that last stretch, that last quarter of a mile, and I ran so excellently, I passed all the people who were walking. If you can see the finish line, why are you walking? Party time! Excellent! Next is Excelsior. This is a fun word. Noun from 1868. This is fine curled wood shavings used especially for packing fragile items. And this is not at all what I was expecting this would be. Because it's a trade name. It doesn't say it's a trademark. It's a trade name. Which is, I guess, from the Latin word excelsior, which means higher, or it's a comparison of excelsus, which I guess is also Latin, which means high, which is from the verb excellere, which if we go back a few words, that's all about to rise and project. So it's excelsior has the similar etymology to excel, which makes sense. It's the same first five letters. But this is interesting because I feel like I've heard excelsior used. What was it used? Was it in a movie? What is somebody said excelsior? Isn't it like somebody's phrase? Somebody's quote? Now this says this is used in the names of hotels, newspapers, and other products to indicate superior quality. But the definition here says fine curled wood shavings used especially for packing fragile items. Has the definition changed since this book was written? I don't think so. That would be odd if it's not that long ago. Oh, of course it was. Stan Lee was the one who liked the word excelsior. He said, "You know, my motto is excelsior. That's an old word that means upward and onward to greater glory. It's on the seal of the state of New York. Keep moving forward, and if it's time to go, it's time. Nothing lasts forever." Well, I appreciate that. I like that. But this definition here in this book says nothing about that. So I'm really confused about these fine curled wood shavings. Oh, book, you're so funny. Party time! Next is accept. E-X-C-E-P-T. First form, it's also just accepting. Because it's a preposition from the 14th century, and it means with the exclusion or exception of. No, yes. I didn't expect to see this version of the word in the definition, but it was there. With the exclusion or exception of, as in, daily except Sundays. Daily except Sundays. So we are excluding Sundays in this thing. This podcast used to be daily, but now it is daily except Sundays and Saturdays, or Saturdays and Sundays, whichever way you prefer to say those in which order. So yes, you're excluding the things when you put except in there. I think that makes sense. Accepting. I'm not sure how accepting gets used. That maybe seems older or regional. Party time, because it's so excellent. The second form of accept is a verb from the 14th century, starting with transitive. To take or leave out from a number or a whole. The whole thing. The synonym is exclude. To take or leave out. So this is the action. Yep, this is the verb. To take or leave out from a number. So I am accepting. If I'm leaving out a thing, I am accepting it. I'm trying to think if I have ever used this in a verb form. Accept, exclude. You have to exclude the thing. Intransitive is to take exception, and the synonym is object. I object. I take exception to you saying those things which were so mean to me. So that's the intransitive way to use this verb, accept. How often does this verb get used? This word is from the Latin acceptare, which is from excipere, which means to take out or accept, E-X-E-E-P-T, to accept. You're excluding it. You're taking it out of the equation because we can't talk about it anymore. That is from the ex prefix plus capere, which means to take. And there's more at the word heave. Heave, ho, heave, ho. Why is that related to accept? I don't know. Let's talk about, acceptive. That is an adjective. Body time! The third form of accept or accepting is a conjunction from the 15th century. Number one, on any other condition than that. The synonym is unless, as in, except you repent. And this also definitely seems old or possibly religious based on that example. Contexts that I'm not familiar with. So, I mean, unless you repent, that makes sense to me. This will happen unless you repent. This thing will happen except you repent. That makes no sense to me. On any other condition than that. Then that is the con. That's, yeah. Okay. Number two, with this exception, this is what the definition says. With this exception, namely. Huh? As in the example, was inaccessible except by boat. Okay. That one makes sense to me. With this exception, namely. There's a comma, namely. That was inacceptable unless you go by boat. The boat is the exception of this inaccessible situation. You can't get there any other way except by boat. Okay, that one makes sense. Number three, the synonym is only, and this is often followed by the word that, as in, I would go, except that it's too far. Only that it's too far. Only? I guess so. I would go, except that I don't want to. Okay. Yeah, there was some interesting stuff in there. We've got some more, though. Party time! Except for. Two words. This is a preposition from the 15th century. One, with the exception of, as in, everyone was gone, except for me. I stayed in the bar until closing time. Everybody left, or it was maybe at a party, and I just didn't want to go, and I didn't want to miss anything. I had FOMO. I was fear of missing out, so I just stayed all the way until the end, and then the people whose house it was, they were like, oh, we're so tired, and I said, okay, I'll just sleep over. Except for, with the exception. Number two. Were it not for, were it not for, oh, these are such silly definitions. The example is, except for you, I would be dead. Wow, you saved my life. If it were not for you, see that you can replace almost the whole definition basically into the example. Were it not for you, except for you, I would be dead? What? You saved me. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Body time. Exception. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the act of accepting. And I have to say, you know, our brains here, accept and accept, there's two different words that are sound basically exactly the same. The other one is A-C-C-E-P-T. This one is E-X-C-E-P-T, but every single time that word was mentioned in all these definitions, it was the E-X one, not the A-C one, and I know that because you're probably only hearing this, you don't get to see the words, it might help for me to have said that earlier, but I'm saying it now. Okay, so the act of accepting, so this would be like probably excluding something, maybe like that. And the synonym is exclusion. An exception is an exclusion because you are excluding something. Number two, one that is accepted, not accepted into a college, but accepted. One that is accepted is an exception, especially a case to which a rule does not apply. So I guess the thing that if you exclude a thing, that would be the exception. The you have that thing that is excluded is the exception to the rule of things. Number three, the synonyms are question and objection. As in, this is a quote, witnesses whose authority is beyond exception. That is from T.B. Macaulay, not Macaulay Culkin, T.B. Macaulay. So witnesses whose authority is beyond exception, beyond question, beyond objection, you can't question them because they know everything. And that's good for a witness. You want a witness to know what the hell they're talking about. I sure do. Number four, an oral or written legal objection is an exception. Do they ever say that in court? They say objection. Do they ever say exception? I don't know. Party time, it's party time because it's so excellent. Next is exceptionable. Exceptionable. Adjective from 1691. Being likely to cause objection. Being likely to cause objection. The synonym... My God, do I need to slow down my talking? The synonym is, where did it go? Objectionable, as in visitors even drink the exceptional beer. That is a quote from W.D. Howells. Visitors even drink the objectionable, the exceptionable beer because it is objectionable. Why is this beer objectionable? Exceptionable? Because, well, in some parts of the world, they like to drink warm beer, and other parts of the world, they like to drink cold beer. And so, either one of those would be exceptionable to the other group. Being likely to cause objection. Oh, that warm beer is so likely to cause objection in my taste buds. Here's the thing, though. For me, any of the beers, really, or just about any of the beers are exceptionable to me, as in that they are objectionable. Exceptionability, that is a noun, exceptionably. That is an adverb. That beer was drunk exceptionably. Okay. Who'd use this the word? Party time. Exceptional. No. Exceptional. Exceptional. One syllable for that part, or exceptional. You could break it up. So this exceptionable is so similar sounding to exceptional. So let's talk about this one. Adjective from 1787. Number one, forming an exception. And the synonym is rare, as in an exceptional number of rainy days. It's rare to have so many rainy days. It's an exception to the rule. It's weird. It's off. It's odd. Exceptional. And yeah, when I was saying the word exceptionable, it's so similar to exceptional that it's, but it has such an opposite meaning, kind of. Number two, better than average. The synonym is superior, as in exceptional skills, superior skills. Those skills are rare. That ability to sing like a bird is exceptional. Number three, deviating from the norm as 3A, having above or below average intelligence. So either one, above or below, a lot of intelligence or not so much intelligence. Either way, you're not in the norm. There's the bell curve. Most people are in that middle section of the bell curve, the vast majority, but a little bit at the end and a little bit on the other end. That is exceptional. Usually, I feel like when we use this word, we are using it in terms of high quality, good quality, opposed to not the norm. But I think that's a better usage. You can, yeah, it's, you know, it can get used in that way, but we don't use it that way as often, I don't think. 3B, so this is still deviating from the norm. 3B is physically disabled. So that, again, is different from the norm. The majority of people are not disabled in some way or in most ways or just in this certain way, whatever the context is that we're talking about. But what I like about this is that because this first definition or the second one is all about high quality, superior, better than, I like it that when you can call somebody physically disabled, it's technically out of the norm, but it also has this great connotation of being high quality. And so, yeah, if you're physically disabled, you could be like, I'm exceptional. I am higher quality. I am different. I am rare. I am unique. I'm a unicorn. This freaking dope. Yeah. Exceptionality. Exceptionality is a noun. Exceptionalness. Exceptionalness. That is a noun. Noun. Okay. Next one. Party time. Exceptionalism. Exceptionalism. Noun from 1929. The condition of being different from the norm. Also, a theory expounding the exceptionalism, especially of a nation or region. So this is a theory that's touting, that's talking about how a nation or a region, a group, a culture is different than the other ones. I don't know, maybe we should put a link in the show notes for exceptionalism, this theory about it's expounding on exceptionalism. It's called exceptionalism, but it's expounding exceptionalism about a nation or region. Exceptionalist, and that is an adjective. Not a person? Exceptionalist. Yeah, I guess that's fine. The condition of being different from the norm. That's what it is. Oh, I'm physically disabled, so I have the exceptionalism. My brain works in a different way, so I have exceptionalism. All right, we got one more word. Party time, it's party time on the podcast called The Dictionary. It's so excellent and exceptional, and it's the exception to the rule. Okay, the last word is exceptionally. Exceptionally or exceptionally? Exceptionally. Exceptionally. Adverb from 1703. In an exceptional manner. Also, to an exceptional degree. But especially, more than average or usual. As an exceptionally difficult task. That task was so difficult, more than average. It was more difficult than average. To an exceptional manner. Yep. Exceptionally difficult. That task, it's exceptional. It's beyond the norm. Okay, I now need to pick a word of the episode. We are picking a word of the episode. Excel, excellence, excellency, excellent, excelsior, except for, exception, exceptionable, exceptional. They come from the same word, but they're different. exceptionalism and exceptionally. I'm debating between excellent and excelsior, although I had no idea about these wood shavings. Let's see. I mean, I kind of like exceptional also. That's pretty fun. It's fun to be exceptional. Let's just sing that. It's fun to be exceptional, rare and unique and superior. Excelsior. Okay, that was it. That was the part of the words. And this is the part of the movies. The next movie that we watched, Double Indemnity. We actually had a double feature with this one and the next movie that I'll talk about in the next episode. But it was a really good double feature. And now they're sort of mixing in my brain because we watched them in the same night. Let's see. I remember actually talking about Double Indemnity with my friend Kate on this podcast way back all those months and stuff and go. We were like, it's a movie, right? We should probably watch it. Hey, I watched it. So what Double Indemnity is, which is it's the name of the movie, but I guess, yeah, the whole point, I don't know, they maybe could have had a better name, but anyway, the point is, it's an insurance fraud thing. They're like, we're going to do this thing, and we're going to get this guy dead, and so then we'll get the insurance money, but if he dies in this specific rare case, then we get double the money. That's double indemnity. I don't even know what the word indemnity means, but it's double. And it's a black and white movie from 1944, and it's great. It's a lot of insurance talk and stuff. And I was like, I feel so stupid, but yeah, you know, it's dated. It's 80 years old at this point. Edward G. Robinson is in it. He plays a supporting role, and he's a force. He's just like, you can't stop him. You can't not watch him. He's, especially in this movie. I've only seen a couple of his movies, but good stuff. So Double Indemnity, finally watched it. Good stuff. And it goes well with the next movie that I watch, which I'll talk about later. Okay. That's it. That's the end of this episode. Thank you very much for checking out my show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.